Hey there,
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. This is Rachel and Jessica, episode 150.
Woo! We are having a conversation with Nicole. She is an occupational therapist and the owner of Lullaby Waters here in Boise, Idaho.
Yes, and she specializes in all things aquatic therapy. She is very peaceful about it and has curated a sensory environment that is relaxing and calming. And we got to hang out with her before we interviewed her on the podcast, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, if you're in the Treasure Valley in this area, you definitely need to get a hold of her and see about going in and visiting her clinic, because it was a great experience. This is a great conversation, so let's do it.
Hi, Nicole. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're so good. We're so excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Okay. So before we jump into all of the good stuff, we do have 5 secret questions that we're going to ask you so our listeners can get to know all of your deepest, darkest secrets.
Oh. Sounds intriguing.
Okay. So the first question is, what is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve, do you mean in general or as a therapist?
Both.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's do both.
I would say as a therapist, it's probably people assuming that they already know this child based on reading something or trying to put them in a box. I think keeping an openness. So I would say that's a big one of mine.
I can totally agree with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now for your general pet peeve though.
General pet peeve, I guess sensory wise, I can be quite sensitive to chaos. So I like to try to organize my own environment as well.
Oh man, I can really hear that too.
That's fair. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather be considered the crazy plant lady or the crazy cat lady?
Definitely plant. I have cat allergies, so.
Oh, so that wouldn't work anyways.
I know. I feel like I should show you guys all my plants, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot?
I'm getting there.
Yeah? Oh, I love it. I'm trying to be both. But my cats knock my plants over and kill them. So I'm trying to figure out a way to make it work because I want to be both. Okay, next question. How do you relieve stress? Stress relief.
How do I relieve stress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of it is at my work. Like I create an environment that I actually can release my own stress as well. Like it's so calming that it kind of goes hand in hand. But also I believe in like a good workout, getting some endorphins and.
Perfect. Yes. And we are actually, I'm excited. We're going to tell everyone about how calming and zen your office is because it was heavenly.
It was very nice.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Okay. What is your drink of choice?
I drink a lot of water.
That's fitting.
Not very creative, or I guess we could say a mojito.
Oh, yes.
Those are a good one.
I love mojitos.
The island drink,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah.
Okay, this is our favorite question. What is your sensory quirk?
I would say sensory sensitivity
is
mine. Like, I don't like anything too chaotic, too loud. I just feel like I'm at my best when I can process, and it's a calming environment. So I think that's a lot of why I try to carry that forward and create that for others too, partly because I need it.
Exactly. Well, what's so cool is like you figured that out for yourself and you figured out how to thrive. You know, if you were a sensory sensitive person working in like a grocery store or something, you know, it's overstimulating. You wouldn't be thriving. But I think that's why it's so important to get this information out there.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree.
Should we jump into all the good stuff?
Yeah. So can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do and how you do it?
Yeah. So my name is Nicole Nickel. I'm an aquatic occupational therapist as well as primarily pediatric, although I do see adults as well. So I am the owner of Lullaby Waters. It's a small clinic in Boise, Idaho. And we also do infant development as well. So we primarily are using the aquatic environment as our modality in treating pediatric patients.
Now, you're the owner, so how did that get started?
Well, it all started, I went to school at Eastern Washington. And aww, so I actually listened to one of your podcasts last night and realized that.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Which one did you listen to?
I think I was listening to the Harkla one because you were talking about
knowing that
person from Spokane. And so, yeah, that's kind of my area as well. So I went to Eastern Washington. I worked actually at St. Luke's Rehab in Spokane while I was in college, and I was a therapy aide. So one of my tasks was bringing patients down to the pool. They had a big, like, Olympic-sized pool, and I would bring down the spinal cord injury patients it was mainly spinal cord injuries, but I eventually got asked to help get in the pool to help the therapists along with them. And I noticed on days that I was getting in the pool with them, I was like, I feel so good. I'm refreshed. I'm energized. It was almost like a little workout. So it just felt great. So I carried that with me. And then when I was in college, like, we're deciding our field works, and I did a little research and I found this therapist in Moscow, Idaho, who had a little clinic called Elements of Wellness. And since I had that good feeling with the water, I was like, oh, I'm going to write to her and see if I can be her intern. And she accepted, thankfully. Her name was Dana Wilbanks, and she was just phenomenal. And it kind of just changed pretty much the trajectory of my life. Like, I was so in love with the water aspect, and I just learned so much about different components. And she was working with adults, and I knew that my desire was pediatrics. And the funny thing is about all of that, at the end of school, my husband was asked to come back to Boise State to work. And I actually asked, like, can I get my internship changed to Boise so I can be with him? And they were like, no. And so I stayed in Washington and went to Moscow, Idaho to do this internship. And I'm just so grateful that I did.
Yeah. Even though it was hard in the, like, going through it.
Right, because we were doing distance after we had been married, and yeah, but it was just an amazing time. I learned so much, and I actually had one of the components that my teacher used was Watsu, and I had a session done on myself, and that was the moment I was like, wow, this made such a difference. My joints are better. I can move better. It just helped in so many ways.
So then did you work at an aquatic therapy clinic before you started your own, or how long have you been in the field before you were like, I just need my own clinic now?
Well, so that's the thing. I moved here to Boise thinking I need to work in the water. This is what I need. And was looking all around. Like, I worked at St. Luke's. They didn't have the aquatic aspect that I was looking for. And I was working with pretty young kids, and I just kept thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like, I'm making progress, but they need the water. I could get so much more benefit for this kiddo with the water. And I think I even tried a session where we met somewhere and the pool was too cold and too noisy. It just wasn't therapeutic. And I kept thinking back to that peaceful little clinic that I had done my internship at. So just little by little, I started planning and putting time and effort, and it took a while. And actually, as it all started to come to fruition, I found out I was pregnant with my second daughter.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, I was like, should we keep going? But I did, and I'm glad. And it, actually, the clinic was under construction while I was giving birth, and so I came right off of maternity leave into doing the work that I love. And wow. Yeah.
That's so cool. I know we have a lot of therapists who listen, and I just think it's so inspirational to hear other like OT entrepreneurs and share their journey and motivating them that you can do so much. You can do anything. And my mom was even saying like how amazing the OT field is because it's so wide, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And I just think that we have to remember that.
Can you share some of the benefits of water therapy? Wait, do you call it water therapy? Do you call it aquatic therapy? Like, what's the...
Usually, I call it aquatic therapy. Okay. I think water therapy is okay, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of, like, the biggest benefits of it?
Well, I feel like it's all just amazing. I'm the daughter of a physicist, so I'll tell you some of this now.
Perfect. Yes.
Okay, well, I love the components of the water in themselves. I mean, they're amazing. So we're using like the buoyancy of the water to decrease weight bearing and to reduce the force of stress placed on joints. And so if you think about that, like from a sensory perspective, like think about that stress reduction, like what they can internalize more, what they can be thinking about if their stress isn't thinking about standing upright or how they're needing to move. Going on, like there's also viscosity where the water is giving them resistance. So we can focus on like those perceptual motor skills. They're getting just a little bit more input and body awareness and spatial awareness. Hydrostatic pressure, that reduces any type of swelling in the body. So if they're not feeling well, it is also giving them that proprioceptive input. And then we can work on like that planning and executing tasks and work on that motor control, that postural stability as well. So, but I just get excited talking about those different components and just thinking about like what you can do with all of that.
Yeah, you can achieve a lot of goals. You can meet a lot of these kiddos' goals in the water mm-hmm. that you aren't able to meet in just a standard clinic.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and so then let's talk a little bit more about, is it best to have a kiddo come to you for water therapy and also do, you know, traditional in the clinic setting occupational therapy?
So I've been asked that a lot, and I truly believe like here in the Treasure Valley, like we're so lucky that we have so many amazing therapists. And I know like my modality is water. I fully believe in aquatic therapy and that I feel like it's the best method for me to help a kiddo achieve their goals. But I also know my good friends, Lori Apple at the Lotus Tree, like she has her whole wealth of knowledge and different modalities that she's going to implement. And they're also fully benefiting that child. And I think it goes back to like just looking at that child, like what is going to be the best for them. And I think it's going to take all of our approaches together, working to like support and love and see what they need.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, that's for sure.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that idea of like looking at the child and saying, would they benefit more from doing a more sensory integration with swings and obstacle courses, or would they benefit more from the aquatic?
Or both. Like, mm-hmm. I think that they're gaining from each. Like, they're getting different inputs. They're they're feeling something different with each. And we might have like the exact same goal, like, but we're all working toward it, mm-hmm. just in a different approach.
We just want to take a minute and talk to you about our company, Harkla. Our mission at Harkla is to help those with special needs live happy, healthy lives. Not only do we accomplish this through the podcast, but we also have therapy products, easy-to-follow digital courses, and the Harkla Sensory Club to try to bring holistic care to you and your family.
Listeners of the All Things Sensory podcast get 10% off their first purchase at Harkla with the discount code SENSORY. We'd recommend checking out some of our best sellers like the compression sensory swing, weighted blankets, or our course on sensory diets.
And here's the best part. 1% of each sale gets donated to the University of Washington Autism Center to support autism research and fund scholarships to families in need to receive in-clinic therapy for their child.
Learn more about Harkla and all we have to offer at harkla.co. That's harkla.co. And don't forget to use the discount code SENSORY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's SENSORY for 10% off.
And the best part is all Harkla orders come with a lifetime guarantee and free shipping.
You really can't beat that.
No,
you can't. Okay, let's get back to the show.
So how long is a typical session with a kiddo? What does a typical session look like?
Okay, well, they can really range. Usually we go for a 60-minute session, and sometimes, depending on their goals, that might be because we're working on activities of daily living. Like and it's the perfect setting to be like, okay, like we're going to get out now, like, and see how you do with dressing yourself, or how are you doing with that shower? And it's actually perfect because it's not contrived. Like, you need to get dressed after work, or you need to get ready. So that might be part of our session. But otherwise, when you're in the pool, I'm trying to think how to say this, like what focus I should have, like what kind of session.
Think about, like, we'll use Trip as an example. So he's okay. A little 6-month-old, you know, just got his tongue tie and his lip tie release. And you took him and you were working with him. So, I mean, let's use him as an example.
Okay. So, for example, when Trip came the other day, he's 6 months old. So we want to work toward where he's at, toward his next milestone or goal. And after a tongue tie especially, we want to help make sure that he's loosened up and that he's feeling all of that support from the water, but also being able to move functionally. And so yes. We would probably help him move through the water in a variety of different motions to make sure that we can see that his body is moving well and that he's feeling good and help him there.
And so then if we compare that to Logan, who's 7, mm-hmm. so compare that to like an older kiddo, their sessions are going to look completely different.
Right. So if we were more working with Logan, I don't know what your goals necessarily would be for him, but probably more functional basic. We'd want to work more on like maybe that coordination piece to get somewhere, or like we were working on some visual perceptual games with him. I feel like we can do that really well in the water as well as problem solving. Mm-hmm. So maybe we would put out a variety of things and ask him like, can you find this? Because it can be tricky. And then he has to figure out how to get to it as well. Mm-hmm. And then we would probably be assisting more with like form of that to see. But
totally.
We also like use the water in so many different ways. Like, for example, a kiddo who might have Down syndrome, maybe lower tone, we're working to use the water for strengthening because they are getting that resistance. Or flip that to like a kiddo with cerebral palsy who might have tighter joints, then we're using the water to help loosen up and move in ways that they might not be able to on land.
Yeah, I was just thinking about safety awareness too, because when we were there the other day, Logan was just like, woohoo, let's
He was
get
ready
in.
To jump in.
And you guys, you know,
always key.
Yeah, and you took a step back and you're like, this is how we get in the water. This is how we make sure we're safe. And like working on that impulse control and that safety component as well is huge.
Right. It is huge. It is huge. And actually, that's one of the sad things is that, like, with autism, like, there is an increased drowning risk. And it is that awareness piece, that not knowing. And so that's always key with all of our sessions.
So then in the past, I've had parents tell me that their kiddo is afraid of water. And so they try to do traditional swim lessons and their kiddo just won't get in the water. They have meltdowns. So how would you work with a kiddo who's very afraid of water?
The fear of water, we're all about just doing things so slowly, like doing things on their terms. Like, maybe our first session wouldn't even be getting in the water. Maybe it would be playing at the edge with it. Just gradually getting to where they're comfortable, where we can meet their needs.
And I feel like that would be such a, like, a more secure environment too, because you can turn the lights off and it's quiet. There's not a ton of other kids splashing in the water, right. But you're not like, I don't know, you're not like teaching how to swim at the same time. So it's not like people are coming to you for swim lessons, but it could be a good way to just work on that feeling of security around the water.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about the environment. So we were there and I was comparing it to like our traditional swim lesson location, and it's echoey and it's loud and it's busy and it's chaotic. And, you know, trip's fine, but I'm over here, sensitive Sally. I can't even focus on what we're supposed to be doing. But then we come to your clinic and you can turn the lights down and it's calming and it's, the water is warm.
Yes.
So can you tell a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So that was one of the key things when creating Lullaby Waters is what I wanted was this environment that you could feel that way. And part of it was my own desire. I know it really helps me. So I feel like I'm a better therapist in that setting as well, though. So yeah, the lights are dimmable. The water is warm. And the reason we do the warm water is it's called a temperature neutral zone where your body temperature is around 96 to 98. And so keeping the pool, we keep it at 95 to 96. It just feels like an extension of yourself. So your body doesn't have to work to stay warm or to cool off. You can just focus on what you need to. And I feel like that is a huge component. I mean, if you got in a cold pool and you're shivering, it is hard to think about what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Can, like, neurotypical, I'm putting that in air quotes, neurotypical kiddos benefit? I know we see kiddos across every spectrum in occupational therapy, but at a place like aquatic therapy, could we see neurotypical kiddos? I mean, could you do sessions with neurotypical kiddos?
Yeah, and that's part of why we created our wellness plans is for somebody who would just want to pop in for, like, one visit. But definitely there is benefit to everybody. One of our therapists, she used to have like severe anxiety and the water completely has like settled her and calmed her. And she reports that like she's like doesn't have it anymore essentially. As well as one of our therapists had fibromyalgia. There still does, but you used to have severe pain. And from her working in the pool, she doesn't have that anymore. So it's just really soothing and beneficial for everybody. And I know I brought my daughters there if they're seeming to be dysregulated. Yeah. And like, let's go have a session. One of the things that we do is our Remember to Float. It's kind of a little program we created because to float, you have to decrease that tension in your muscles. And we work on our deep breathing and we try to help kiddos with that, like floating on the pillows or anybody. We do it with adults too, where you're giving them a physical reference of what it feels like to be calm. So yeah, I think it can be beneficial. I think we all need to learn to like draw on that more where we can say, remember to float.
Well, I was a big fan of when you were floating me around, you know, I compared it to an episode of New Girl where Nick gets in the pool with the old man and he's floating him around and he like starts to relax and feels so calm afterwards. And I was like, that's exactly what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. I know. And you guys didn't even get the full effect.
I know. Yeah. It was great.
But it is just so supportive of your body. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know even for myself, like having a massage, I can't always necessarily relax, but there's something about all of those components of the water that makes it easier perhaps for your system to regulate. And
I think my favorite part was when you were floating me and you're like, let's put Chip on you. And so we got to have that special bonding time. Yeah. It was so cool.
Yeah. It was such a beautiful moment.
I think that's cool.
Do you do a lot of sessions like that where the parent is in the pool with the child?
We call those our mother-baby sessions typically, and we usually do them. I wasn't sure how Trip would do, but he did great. But usually when they're a little bit younger, just because they're floating a little bit better. But we've done just some beautiful mother-baby sessions where one mom came in and she was like, I haven't slept more than 2 hours at a time. Her baby was so colicky, and we did this amazing session where the mom was just so relaxed on the pillows. We were able to like calm her baby and float him on her chest, and you saw how we floated Trip, so his head is supported as well. So there's two therapists making sure that you're both safe. But that mom, oh, she got that restful session, and she said they went home and slept 5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So she said she got, like, a rebonding time with him almost. And it had been kind of a traumatic birth. So it was just nice that
For sure.
We were able to do that. Yeah.
I love it. So magical.
But so you don't typically have the parents come into the pool when it's a session with an older kid.
Sometimes, I mean, it's not unheard of, but not as often, because we do see a difference. For example, if I were to get my daughters in the pool, they do just want to jump on me and like cling to me. And like, you're their mom, you're their safe place. And we want them to feel safe, obviously, but also like gain some confidence and gain some strengths.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to know, what's the biggest challenge every day when you come to work, you're treating clients? What is the hardest thing that you feel like you have to deal with?
I would just say it's the constant adaptability. I mean, you're trying to always be adaptable with your patients, like always reinventing yourself to give something new and to meet their needs better. But also like as a clinic owner, I'm always trying to be adaptable to my therapists, like find out what their needs are, what education are they needing, what areas do they want to focus on more, how can they be better supported. And it's just constant with, I mean, like the pandemic adaptability.
Yeah, so, seriously.
Yeah.
I kind of want to talk a little bit more about you as a business owner. You know, Rachel and I have worked in several different clinics and areas and had different experiences. And so I was just curious, how do you stay motivated, but also how do you keep your team motivated?
I feel like I stay motivated by the love of it all, seeing the patients and the results. And I think that all of our motivation is kind of derived in that same place. So we're united in that way. And I just feel like they're all such wonderful humans too. Like they're just like, they have the biggest hearts, and just like hearing their different perspectives and where they want to go. Like we're always working together to try to get to that place. They all recently, they've been interested in like the reflex integration. And so that's been a big focus, and each one kind of has their unique take on things. And then we talk about how this person is doing it, how it's been successful for them, and maybe how to modify it for another. I mean, it's just nice to have that unity and to know that we all want the same thing. We all want to see success for our patients. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you did introduce us to your new cranial sacral therapist, your physical therapist. And, you know, we got to kind of see you guys trying to figure out how you can almost co-treat, you know, how can you guys both target these goals that this child had and make it the most meaningful for the child?
And that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. That is what we're working toward, is being able to do all of that. So it's going well. We like the unity.
I love it. Oh, so good.
Cool.
So you're in Boise, but you know, our listeners are worldwide. So how can a listener find like a trained aquatic therapy clinic, and how can they find a good one?
So I would just say to do your research on the front end. Ask if your therapists are licensed and what they're licensed in. Ask if they've had training, what kind of classes.
Okay, so what's one piece of advice that you could give to parents, to therapists when they're working with their kids?
Yeah, well, I would say, so this is our motto, but I truly believe it, that peace equals progress. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you can regulate that nervous system to get to that peaceful place, whatever modality you're using, I prefer aquatic, but with whatever modality, if you can get to that peaceful place, then I truly believe you can make more progress. You can think more clearly. You can function better. So that would be my advice.
I love it. Absolutely.
Well, we are very excited to be neighbors when we have our new office.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yes. We'll probably be popping over. We told everyone about how wonderful it was. And so they're all like, all the local people were like, oh yeah, we'll probably have to go over there and have a wellness session.
Yep.
I know. It'll be wonderful. We can have little cookie parties or something.
Yes. That would be awesome.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. So happy we were able to chat with you and learn more about aquatic therapy, because it's definitely not, it's not, I don't know how popular it is, but it's not like very well known. And I think we need to spread the word.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. I love what you're doing as well. And it's just nice to be able to chat with you.
Yeah, yes, for
thank
sure.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. What did you think?
I just want to get in the pool.
I know. We got to visit her clinic before we interviewed her, and it was really nice getting into the warm water, getting floated around like Nick from New Girl. And yeah, it was just a really cool experience.
It was an awesome experience. And I will say that I felt more peaceful the mm-hmm. rest of the day. I felt, even just after getting out of the water, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh. I feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. It was. I do remember when she was floating me around. I don't know if that's the term for it, but that's what I call it. She was floating me around. At first, I like really had to force myself to just like relax though.
Me too. I was a little uncomfortable when like the water was getting in my ears.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
couldn't hear, and they have pillows and stuff. So I had to like, when they say, are you comfortable? I had to say, no, I need to like reposition myself mm-hmm. and get comfortable. And again, advocating for your sensory needs.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully you guys found this informative and interesting and motivating, especially if you're a therapist, you know, motivating to see what else is out there and new things that you can do.
Yeah. And if you did love it, leave us a review on iTunes.
Shout us out on social media.
Yes. You can find us at All Things Sensory Podcast and Harkla_family. So take a screenshot, tag us. And we'll include Lullaby Waters too, so they can see your appreciation.
All right. Thanks for being here.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @Harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.